is August 27th, and this is Questions and Answers.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Such is the nature of life, that all it asks and all it wants is an opportunity to appear. You are that opportunity, and so am I. It is the purpose of this teaching to make us aware of this essential truth of our being. What do we mean by that? We mean that this thing called the universe, this thing we call God, is operating in, as, and through us. And it operates in, as, and through us the more we allow it to do that, the more we give it an opportunity. The life that is the only one life in the universe, we must give it an opportunity to work. We can stop that process to a point by our thinking, but with our thinking we can let this thing called God, this thing called life, course through us. And that is what we want to know. We want to know that there is only one life, there's only one thing operating in the whole universe, because this teaching teaches unity. It does not teach separation, and it does not teach duality of any type. The world teaches separation, and the world teaches duality. This teaching has nothing to do with that. So, with that said, I found this morning in my daily reading. If you can see, it has the right date for a change. I am worthy and deserving. How do we hear that all the time, don't we? I act now to break the unworthiness habit. You see, the unworthiness habit. It's a habit, people. Your thinking is a habit. We are puppets of our conditioning. If you start to think yourself unworthy and so forth, you have to stop that, and you have to train yourself not to have those thoughts. I let go of any ideas or past beliefs that I don't deserve the life of my dreams. You do deserve the life of your dreams. I step into the light of spirit and claim my biggest and best life. Step in to the light of spirit and claim my biggest and best life. So say that to yourself. I'm stepping into the spirit. We're always talking about this spirit. It can be the life running through. It can be anything. But you have to use, again, your imagination. You have to see what's going on. You have to say, ah, I'm stepping into the light. I'm stepping in to the spirit. And then go from there. When I let my imagination run free, I see what I truly want. Always, this imagination, we hear it constantly. We keep forgetting that this is the most valuable tool that we have, is our imagination. It may be harmonious relationships, a healthy life, a fulfilling career, or meeting a special someone. Or perhaps I want to climb a mountain, raft the rapids, or travel around the world. All of my dreams are important. And I hear people say, well, they don't think their dreams are all that important. But I also hear on all these award shows and so forth, I hear people who have made it say, I always dreamt this. I dreamt this. And I hear also people say, I'm living my dream. So what is your dream? And start to live that dream. Now, the next thing here is, with God, all things are possible. You have to remember that one. With God, all things are possible. I open my heart and mind to daring new ideas. Now, you see, we always use that, I open my heart and my mind. Why? Because you have to have the heart and the mind operating together. It's the thinking and the feeling part that we want to match up with each other, that we want to come into alignment. And we use that, if you go to the mental equivalent, he tells you that. Emmett Fox says, warmth of feeling. But it's thought and feeling, and we use the word heart and mind. So open your heart, open your mind. That's when we say open the heart, that means open your feelings. What will it feel like? What will it feel like to be? Or what will it feel like to have all my dreams come true? Get that feeling. Use that feeling. I anticipate a fabulous life, and I rejoice as it manifests. Are you anticipating a fabulous life? Some people are not anticipating a fabulous life. Make your life fabulous. Anticipate that. Remember, you're always moving from your good to your greater good, and you have to remember that there is something behind you, there's something in you, there's something through you, there's something around you that wants you to succeed. That wants you to succeed and cannot be stopped. But you have to keep that in your mind all the time. I am worthy of all I desire. I am worthy of all I desire. And so many people let their little mind tell them that they're not worthy of something. So it's always in your life you have to start with the four things. I am worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and I matter. Well, you have to get that through your mind. And the mind caves in on us and tells us, oh, well, that's not true. It's absolutely true. It's the truth of our being. The world does not teach that. Most of us did not grow up in a household where they taught us that. We just grew up. So learn those things for yourself, that this is a wonderful experience that you're having, and that you can have these dreams, and that your dreams can come true. Okay? So, this month was... sitting on the right-hand side or listening to the right side instead of always going to the left or thinking negative thoughts. We want to learn to train ourselves to think positive thoughts, constantly positive thoughts. That's how we change ourselves, and that's how we change this world. By buying into all the stuff that's going on out there in the world, it's not going to be of any benefit for you whatsoever. Nor does it help the situation. All that stuff is going on. And we're not denying it, and we're not going to ignore it. But we're not going to put any energy into it. And we're certainly not going to say, well, that's the way the world is, or that's the way humans are, and isn't it horrible, and things are getting worse and worse and worse. Don't do that to yourselves. You are worthy individuals. You can have what you want in life. The whole idea in life is to keep on trucking. Just keep on trucking. That's it. And people give up. They stop. They think, oh, it's never going to happen. It is going to happen. Why does it happen to some people sooner than others? I don't know the answer to that. I just keep on going. That's all. I just keep going. All right. With that said, I will open the class to questions and answers. Next week, Monday, we will not be here because it's Labor Day. And the month of September, what is left of the month of September, we're going to talk about tools and techniques, so that we have the right tools and the right techniques to be able to put all this stuff into focus and so that you're able to use it. At dinner tonight, Andy said he was, and I was very pleased with it, he was traveling behind a pickup truck, and he said to himself, oh, a pickup truck is very useful. And then he remembered my little thing, that God is useful. And you have to remember that. God is useful. Learn to use God. It's the only power there is out there. Use it. And when those little things come into your mind, that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. It means that you are stretching your consciousness. You are starting to see things differently. That's all that life is about, to learn to see things differently. What we are trying to do is take the veil off of everything, to expose the truth, what the truth is. The world has built so many layers on top of what is really the truth. that sometimes it's a little difficult to get through of all of that. I think, in India, they call that Maya, I believe. But it's a veil that comes over us, and we start to see things that are not really true, which boils down to that idea of do not judge by appearances. We have to get over that idea of judging by appearances. Okay. Question. Miss Paula.
Well, this one just came into my mind when you were talking about listening on the right side. And if this is the side that we're to listen to, I am wondering why I am, my right side is affected by this arthritis that I don't want to have.
Ah. Maybe I can't answer that.
Okay.
I do not know why. I know that the there's no necessity for arthritis. Why people get arthritis, I have no idea. But I know that this thing called God does not invent arthritis. So therefore, the mind of man has to invent all these things, all these diseases and so forth. But I would listen to the right-hand side, and I would say, I am through with this. I am done with this. I no longer need this. And not allow it to take over, you see. And never claim it. Never say, I have arthritis. You may never claim any disease. You claim it, you know.
You have it.
You have it.
Yeah.
Don't claim those things. See if that works for you. Okay. Anyone else?
I had a bunch of them this week, and now they won't. I've been thinking about them all week. They'll come back.
And
what are some of the traits of innocent children that we should be tapping into as far as things that we lose, like the faith of a child sort of things? Like, what are the qualities of...
Well, the faith of a child is because the child uses its imagination. It believes in Santa Claus. It believes in all these things. Till the world proves that wrong for them, and then they start to accept that. Do not do that. Use your imagination. Keep that childlike quality going throughout your life. Children have no problem with this concept of God. They have no problem with it. We have a problem with it. It's done with your mind. It's done with your imagination. So, yeah.
I'm still puzzled by what happens when we die. I lean more towards reincarnation, because that makes more sense to me.
Yes.
And if spirit never dies,
right,
then spirit has to go somewhere, or...
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what you do with that.
Well, you're going to go someplace. You're going to be completely involved in a whole new life.
So I don't have to worry about it.
You don't have to worry about that. That's why we don't use the word die. We use the word transition.
Yes.
You're transitioning into a different life. And I've told you this before. The opposite of life is not death. Life has no opposite. It's always life. Birth and death. You're born, you will die. The opposite of birth is death. But the opposite of, there's no opposite to life. No opposite to life. I learned that at a very early age, before I got into this teaching. In fact, it was in high school, when in chemistry class, when they mentioned that matter can either be created or destroyed, it always is. We always were. We were always a divine idea in the mind of God, and we will remain a divine idea in the mind of God. we will lose these bodies. That's all that's going to happen. That's all that's going to happen. And Benjamin Franklin said that we have a very benevolent God. Because when the body can no longer give you pleasure, death comes. When your body can no longer give you pleasure, death comes. Therefore, this God is benevolent. We try to hang on to this worldly life of ours, to this body of ours. And we now know, with medical science and all, we can keep this going forever. What is the sense of it? What is the sense of it? I don't want to lay around like a vegetable.
Nor I. I'm not fearful of death. I'm just curious.
Oh, well, we're all curious. I'd love to do it today, you know, and see what it is. But it's like that. You can't. That's peeking behind the curtain.
That's
you don't,
true.
You don't want to peek behind the curtain. I have a tendency. I always want to peek behind the curtain.
Just really curious.
Curious about life. How do I get more of that?
Ah, by affirming life.
By living.
I question death.
Pardon?
I question death.
Oh, death?
Tell you why. Whether you read the Bible, the Quran, or the Torah, they all say the same thing. Whomsoever shall believe in me shall not die, but have everlasting life.
Well, that's it.
Now, either I believe, or I'm calling God, myself, a damn lie.
No, it's not a lie.
But that's exactly what he's saying.
The body dies.
Yeah.
But you do not die.
I'm not
your
going.
Spirit. Well, then don't go. Well, you're doing a damn good job of staying here, seems to me. So just keep staying.
I tell Paula that all the time. I say, if you think I'm going to leave you here for somebody else, you crazy.
Right, yes. Yes, don't do it.
I'm stuck.
Yeah, stay around. We all want to stay around. If you're having a wonderful life, stay around as long as you absolutely can. You know? Don't be afraid of death. We were taught somehow or somewhere to be afraid. If there is a thing called God and so forth, why would we be afraid to die?
I think that came from that heaven and hell thing.
Oh, yes.
People are afraid they're going to go to hell and burn
yes.
forever. They're afraid of death.
Give that idea up, people, that there's any place called hell. There's no geographical place called hell, and there's no geographical place called heaven. They are states of mind. They are states of consciousness. You see. Remember, was it last week? This earth is just crammed with heaven. Just crammed with heaven. If you look around, there's so many wonderful things here. It's just crammed with heaven. We have to see that everywhere. Did it come back yet, Scott?
How do I stop the habit of shortchanging?
Oh, well, you've already stopped it by recognizing that you do that. You have to recognize it first. Now you have to make a habit of not to do that. So you love yourself, you don't punish yourself, you say, you again, go back to the nothingness from whence you came. We make a groove, and it stays there. We must get out of the groove that we put ourselves in. See? It's a habit, the same way it says here. I act now to break the unworthiness habit. Everything we do is a habit. We have to learn not to do that to ourselves. But you're listening now to your mind and you're not falling for it. Your mind wants to convince you that it is you and you are not your mind. So, recognize it. When you recognize something, that's the first step to being able to correct it. So many people have no idea. They're not aware. They have no idea what they do. They're completely in psychic sleep. And they will continue to be that way. So you have to wake your own self up. No one can wake you up, by the way. You have to do that. You're on your own.
What is the point of incarnating in this plane of action people that are asleep?
Oh, why did they... Well, they came here with a purpose, but they have forgotten their purpose. So they have fallen into what's called psychic sleep. And they may take them a couple more lifetimes, as Paula would love that, because of reincarnation. It takes a long time for some people to wake up. But you have to wake up. You have to wake up.
Where did the term psychic sleep come from?
Oh, where did that term come from? In some reading somewhere that I did years ago, and they call it psychic sleep. And they think most people are asleep, where most of us are sleepwalking. You know, if we think that this whole thing that we're doing is a dream, some people are sleepwalking through it.
You mean they're not absorbing it, they're not taking it in, they're not intellectualizing it or really experiencing it?
No. No.
And that is true.
Right. And many people think life is just a duty. You know, there's much more to life than it's a duty. You know.
Look at how some people live their lives.
Yes.
You know, bad choices.
Yes.
I think it could be described as sleepwalking.
Yes, it could be. Yes. Probably those people do not know that they're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that they matter. Or they would wake up. They would do something. And I told that story, and I'll tell it again. You know, Robert Bitzer told me, "Oh, Dallas, if they're asleep, let them sleep. It's not your job to wake them."
But as teachers, we feel that...
We feel it is our job to wake them, yes. At least give them an insight. At least do something. Try to help somewhere. Point something out to them. But then they fall back in. And you know perfectly well you were a teacher. You can bring them... Breaking them out of the habit of the family is they fall right back into it.
Absolutely.
They fall right back into what their family they came from. Mm-hmm. Very, that's a pool. And brilliant. Some of the students are brilliant, and they fall right back into it.
Absolutely. Habit.
Yes.
Comfort.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Many different reasons.
Yeah. Tons of reasons.
But we keep trying.
We do. And that's it. Just pick yourself up and keep on trying. And we keep trying to do that for ourselves. And we try to help other people. Mm-hmm. They will get it or they won't get it. What else can you... How else can you go through life, you know?
I have a question.
Good.
This wasn't what I was thinking about. I've been wanting to travel lately. There's so much to do. How do I just break away from it?
I worked for a company once, M.E. Costello, and he told me this, Dallas: if the choice is to stay or to go, always go. Meaning to travel, because I used to go to Europe a lot, and when I'd say I'm leaving, it's fine. The choice is not to stay and do your job. The choice is to go. See the world. Get out there. Do things. So just say that to yourself. Why do you think that you're not worthy or deserving to do that? Do you think the job will fall apart? Do you think you'll fall apart? What's wrong? Do you think that you're that valuable?
Well, I think the job or other commitments, you know, will fall apart.
Well, And that's your ego mind telling you that. And that's the biggest mistake that people make, to think that they're irreplaceable. Go do it. Go do it. No, get out and do it. We think we're obligated. We think our job and all that kind of stuff and our career and so forth means something. It means absolutely nothing, you know. It's nice while you're here on this plane. Actually, you can't take any of that stuff with you. It means nothing. But we convince ourselves, oh, it means so much. It doesn't. What means the most is enjoying your life, celebrating your life. You see. Go. So, there's your choice. If it's to stay or to go, always go. Sander, Mr. Forrest, do you have a question?
I've been thinking about the history and development of this plane of action and the development of consciousness on this plane of action. You know, we have certain things that we've come to know or think to be truths. And you know, we're finding out more things all the time, discovering things, and we're trying things, and things don't work. And I'm just thinking about like the earlier history when you know like you had some people that like you know through metaphysics like things happen, the law of attraction. There were things that happened that caused them to believe, oh, there must be a God, and there must be, you know, this God of fire, God of water, and you know, all these different things. And then you had some that were probably a little bit more accurate, like the ones you speak of all the time, Babylonian times, you know, that actually had, you know,
the Essenes.
The Essenes, thank you. You know, that were close to being spot on. And I just, you know, I don't know what the question is, but I just think it's fascinating, you know, like this development of consciousness on this plane of action, because, you know, it was, you know, to move it from a state of, like, you know, manifesting on this plane of action to the point where you can verbalize it and, you know, and talk about it and, like, and not just live out the experience. I mean, you know, people that were here earlier, especially those that were like were probably more in touch with nature, probably had a more metaphysical, natural existence.
Yes.
And so whether you would call them psychically asleep or not, you know, they were in touch with this plane of action. So.
Well, I don't think like the American Indians were in psychic sleep. I think that they knew exactly what was going on. I think the Aborigines in Australia know exactly what's going on and all. But then Western man and the educated people started to say, oh, no, that can't be. That's too simple, that's too easy, and that's too ridiculous, and all that kind of stuff, and the whole thing changed. And, of course, with religion and so forth, it's all man-made, people. It's all man-made. There's the sacraments. Well, everything about it is man-made. God never said, do this, do that, or any of that kind of stuff. God is a life force. God is a energy. It's an intelligence. It's not all this crap that they bring into it, you know. It's not certainly not the judgment and so forth that were brought into it. Why? I don't know if this helps you anything. Why did the Catholic Church come up with confession?
Well, They wanted to know everyone's business.
Exactly. And that's how they controlled. Mm-hmm. The church knew everybody's business. All man-made. You have to get over that little bit. And what is your concept of God? What's your concept of God or this thing, life and all, is right for you? Is right for you?
Well, I didn't know how to phrase this question, but it is about early religions, how all of this came about. With all these restrictions and well, I know why the restrictions were placed on people, because they were really acting out.
Well, yes. And it was sometimes to protect them. Like most of the Jewish restrictions were put on because of sanitary conditions, health. You know, don't eat this, don't do that, because those people didn't know. And if they said God doesn't want you to do it, oh, okay, we won't do it, you know. But you have to look at those things, and that doesn't take away from anything. I mean, they were very helpful, along with being very mean at the same time. You know, it's a juggling game, you know, with religion. I do not think it can continue. I do not think that the organized religions that we have can continue. Now, that's my philosophy on that. Because I don't know if governments can continue either. Because governments are no longer serving the people. Churches started out to serve the people. Governments started out to serve the people. But they have changed. They have changed. But I don't think that human race will continue, and we will grow, and we will learn, and we will be able to take this power that we call God, this power of attraction, of using our minds to a wonderful level where we will be able to manifest things. Emmett Fox, by the way, was absolutely convinced that we are responsible for the weather.
For the weather?
You think about it a while. We come up with all this stuff, you know. So the mind can control these things. Its mind is all there is. And when we get our minds working correctly, it'll all come to pass. That's what it's about. Controlling our thinking. These little minds of ours.
Well, do you think that metaphysics and science of mind will continue to grow?
Yes.
As organized religion continues to decline?
I think that yes, organized religion will continue to decline. Religious science will decline also, because it will have to change its emphasis, because what it is doing, it is starting to imitate brand name religions, and it cannot imitate brand name religions. It has to grow. It has to grow. Simply because science is proving it. Every day it's proving more and more and more that the mind is what's causing everything. The mind is causing it all. You know. Ernest Holmes never wanted churches.
But what?
Ernest Holmes never wanted churches. You know, they used to call them Science of Mind Church, and then they changed them to centers. Now, and they keep changing the names, if you notice, to make it sound a little bit better. It's still an organized thing where people get together and want to believe what somebody else has been telling them. You have to believe what you want to believe. There, you cannot take away the idea that there's a law of cause and effect. That is always going to be there. Or what we call the law of mind is always going to be present. We have to learn how to use it. And we get off track because we start to look in all these other things, and ministers give wonderful talks and so forth. But when the day is done, those talks meant nothing.
Yeah, well, the more science of mind centers that pop up, they are organized in the same way or very similar to regular churches,
yeah,
and become very demanding, which they have to be when you become so large. You have to have organization, yeah, and you have to have people that...
What you have to have is money.
What you have to have is money, and you have to get it the best way you can. So that's when it becomes...
a business.
Exactly. But is there another way?
There has to be another way, and we have to look for the other way, and no one's looking for the other way. Remember, there's always yes and no, but there's always a third answer, and the third answer is always going to be God. But we're so used to doing that, and we keep doing that, and we have people tell us, oh, that's the organization, that's the way an organization goes, and they can give you charts, and they can give you all that kind of stuff. There has to be a different way to do it. There has to be a different way to do it. I don't know the answer, what that way would be. I had a church. Worst thing I ever did. No, it wasn't. I shouldn't say it's the worst thing I ever did. I wouldn't do it again. I would not do it again because there's too many. You have to consider all this other stuff, you know. Can I pay for the room? Can I pay for this? Can I do that? Is there enough money in the collection plate? Is there this? Oh, gosh. Mm-hmm. You know?
And then getting the volunteers.
And the volunteers. Mobilizing all these people. Yeah.
And having commitments from them. It's really something.
Yes.
It's a big business.
It's a big business. So I don't know the answer to it, but I know that it's going to have to change because it's not going to happen. I love going around the city here seeing churches up for sale. When in your lifetime have you ever seen a church up for sale? The big one on Wilshire is up for sale. I forget which that one was. That great big, that looks like a medieval fortress. That great big thing is up for sale.
Really, a Catholic church?
No, I don't think it was a Catholic. I don't think that was Catholic.
Oh.
Several blocks down from Bullock's, we used to be. It's on that side of the street. It's a big. Maybe it was a Congregational church or something. It was a big. Next time I'm down there, I'll look and see. Mm. But it's up for sale. So when in...
It's not Founders, is it?
No. Oh, no. Founders is still there. It'll go on forever. Well, yes, but if you don't have enough people coming, you know, you have to get rid of your property. The best organization besides the Catholic Church is Christian Science. But Mary Baker Eddy used the format of the Catholic Church for her churches.
Really?
So she has tons of, they have tons of money. No, they have tons of money.
Well, how did she
do that?
Emulate the Catholic Church?
Business-wise.
Business-wise.
Yes, business-wise. Yeah. No, business-wise. And they're still all going, and they're painted up, and they're cleaned up, and they still have their reading rooms. They have, you know, they go. They're a very wealthy people. Now, they may die out, I understand, because all the people are getting older and older, mm-hmm. and they're not attracting new people.
Well, look at Agape.
Yeah. It attracted all the people. Is it going down now?
It's going down?
I don't know. Oh. I'm asking you. I thought maybe you knew.
No, it's huge.
Yeah. But it's too huge. When it gets that huge, I went there once. I thought it was a three-ring circus. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I didn't get the right.
I didn't get... Well, and then he must have been a former Baptist. He never knows when to shut up. He just keeps talking and talking. He's worse than I am. He just keeps talking and talking. You know, I don't want to go to a church 3 or 4 hours. You know, I'm godded out by them. You know,
that's a little overkill.
It is a little overkill, and you don't need that. All right, people, come on, questions. Andy wants to give up questions and answers. Is anyone for giving that up? We did that a long time ago because we didn't want people interrupting during the class, and we used to have several people that would just ask one question and would go on for 3 days, you know, and you couldn't shut them up. So that's why we decided on questions and answers, save it up to the end of the month. But we can subtract it, we can add it, we can do anything we want. We're not a...
Well, we also have the option of asking questions before and after class, too.
Yes, you do have that.
It just seems like we always struggle for questions and answers.
Unless we have Sue or somebody who has all these written down once.
Yes, that's what I'm going to have to start because I have a doozy.
She can't. Well, it'll come to you tonight when you get into bed. It'll pop up. Yeah. But we can do anything we want with this class.
Well, maybe a few minutes after
class. Stop.
Every week.
Yeah, if you want that. Well, we could do that. And then you don't have to wait till a month and
exactly.
You won't forget. Okay. Well, let's try that.
Yeah.
No, I'm game. It's your class. I just sit here and have fun. So whatever you people want, I'm willing to do.
We're having fun with you.
Oh, good.
So Chris started school last week, and I guess that's one of the first things they did in the writing class. They had to create this collage about themselves, like put a picture and write something about it or something. And you wrote in one, and you had to write it in maybe like the size of, I don't know, 3 postage stamps together. You had to write one little thing in there. So I was looking at it the other day, and then I look at it, and then I read something, and I read it again, right? And I look at it, and go, what did you write here? I go, is that what I think it is? He goes, yeah. And you know what he wrote in that, one of them? Because he wrote, he's a golfer. He wrote, you know, he's a son, whatever.
I am God in action.
He said, I'm worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and matter.
Good.
How wonderful.
Now, looking at that, I go, wow.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
So he's been like...
He's absorbing it. Children absorb this.
Yeah, he's listening. Yeah.
And that's wonderful if they learn it at that age. You know.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it was like, wow.
Yeah,
we
have to start with the kids because otherwise it's...
Yes, we have to
keep going. We are.
Yeah. Because the next generation has to keep taking over, and
exactly.
If we just keep repeating ourselves, it's not going to work. And when we have this pool of the family or this thing which I call your conditioning, it's very difficult, and we have to break out of that, and we have to be allowed to break out of that. For years, none of this, until New Thought, when I use the word New Thought, of course, it's not, there's nothing new about it. But for years, people worshipped and believed exactly the same thing. It did not change for centuries. And now it's starting to change. And that's a very good thing, you see. Because
not in my sister's church.
Well, no, probably not. Well, they want to hold on to that because they think that's the whole thing, and it's not, you know.
Yeah, they're still preaching the same thing.
They're still preaching the same thing, and I always wonder about these churches and so forth that preach the same thing and all these people flock to them. If they were really working, why would people have all the problems and the troubles and the upsets and not getting along in the family and, oh my God, all the
not
stuff.
Not even getting along after church.
Yes, on the way out the door, they're already fighting and carrying on, you know.
This is one of the biggest churches in L.A. Oh. Very wealthy church.
So. So it's us. We have to do it. We have to love ourselves enough and give ourselves the permission to have what we want in life. It's all it is. You must give yourself permission. You must give yourself permission to take a vacation. You must give yourself permission to be successful. But he's never given himself permission. He thinks somebody else is going to bestow that on him. And no one is going to bestow it on you. You have to do it yourself. You have to say, I am successful. And I give myself permission to be successful. And when your mind says, oh, yes, but you didn't do this, you didn't do that, you have to tell it to shut up and go back to the nothingness from whence it came. Yes. You have to do that for yourself. So, in closing, life is a do-it-yourself project. You must do all these things for yourself. Life will continue. Life has many little bumps in the road and so forth. We must get over the bumps. We must get over the nips and fleas. We must get over everything and declare victory over everything and know that we are victorious. You have to know that the spirit in you is always greater than anything, any circumstance, anything on the outside of life. And it can conquer anything on the outside of life. So these are the things that we want to reinforce ourselves with. Every day I say I can do all things through God which strengthens me. I can do all things through God, which strengthens me. And I have to do that many times during the day sometimes because life is out there. So, it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.
Thank you, Dad.